And welcome to the Tales from the Long Box podcast. This is episode 95, Spotlight on Valiant Comics. I am Chris Mosby.
I am Caleb, multitasking Gerard.
Yeah.
And I am Murray Fox.
So, here it is. This is the Thunderstorm version of a podcast tonight. Multiple watches and warnings going on here at the secret broadcast cave. Nothing too serious, just a flash flood warning and some thunderstorms. So if you hear a loud booming and shaking, no, that's not a burrito I had for dinner.
Yikes.
Moving along.
It's 105 freaking degrees here in Chandler, Arizona. So,
really? Wow.
Yeah.
What is it? Temperature here is a lovely 63 degrees Fahrenheit. What is that in Celsius for you? 17 degrees 60? Celsius for you, our Canadian friends.
Yeah.
And we have a flash flood watch, a flash flood warning, and a tornado watch going on right now. And I'm watching the radar. Make sure, you know.
Alrighty.
Yeah.
You're going to end up in Oz.
Oh, I hope not. They do bad things to you there.
Wasn't Steve Carell the weatherman?
Wait, different Oz. I'm thinking about that TV show that was on Showtime. It was in a prison. Totally
no,
different show.
Not that.
Okay. This went downhill quick, didn't it? Anyway.
Back to my question. Wasn't Steve Carell, he was the weatherman on Anchorman, right?
I have no idea. I refuse to watch any movie that Will Ferrell is in. Boycott him, because he is a total idiot.
I know, but on the plus side, you've got Kelly Bundy in it, so it's even out.
I'm sorry, no. No, it doesn't even out. Not even by a long shot.
And there's the acapella version of skyrocket seeing flight.
Oh, good lord.
Ooh, afternoon delight.
I'm so glad I didn't watch that. Okay, let's get this on the road. We want to talk about Valiant Comics.
Oh, comics. Comics are for kids.
Oh, don't you start with me, mister.
Hey, kids.
Yes, hey, kids, comics are for kids.
I think we've mentioned it before. Some of the stuff that the Valiant's been putting out has been higher quality than a lot of... Pardon me. I didn't have my nap this afternoon.
Thunder.
Yeah, all that thunder kept me awake. Anyway, my apologies. Yeah, they've been putting out a lot better stuff than DC and a lot of the stuff that Marvel and DC has been putting out. I can't speak for the other guys, but I do believe I am buying everything that they've put out on Comixology. Even when it's $4, and it's been worth the $4. Yeah.
I do believe. Unfortunately, I have not. I'm debating back issuing or maybe getting the trades of.
Do they get cheaper after they sit there a while? Seems like it.
I don't know. I don't know.
I'm looking at Harbinger. I just happen to have that page open. It looks like they do. They get a dollar cheaper, like everything else.
I've been wanting to revisit getting trades lately. They're fun. Plus, I can share them with my kids as opposed to the online stuff, which means
I agree. That's a good idea.
I got a chance to talk with the Valiant guys at PhoenixCon a little bit, mm-hmm. and it became really apparent that I could share Archer and Armstrong and possibly Quantum and Woody. With my kids, so I'm thinking about it, but not on my computer.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right.
iPad. Get them each an iPad, and then give them your account number, and then they can read everything in your account.
Yeah, that's a lot cheaper option.
Yes, I want them to have access to my copy of Sex and Black.
How is that, by the way?
It's not actually that good.
Okay. Then I won't.
It's not good sex. You're not doing it right.
Should I be talking to Dr. Drew instead?
Good lord, son. I don't know. Who you should be talking to?
Love Lines. Adam Bula.
You're killing me here. I didn't know we were on that kind of a show. That's a whole other podcast there, man.
That's a whole other
podcast. All righty.
Yeah, thanks, Murray.
Yeah. We thought we'd gone downhill before.
Luckily, I checked my shame at the door whenever I hit the answer button for this podcast.
Oh, this is true. And we're not even drunk. At least I'm not. Not yet, anyway.
Ouch. What? Are you kidding? It's like 7:30 up here.
Well, I might have to get... Man, today was a pain in the ass, let me tell you.
Marie, are you deep into the ice wine now?
Oh, that sounds delish. It was track and field day at the school, so I was outside all day. Yeah. I was suntanning. I was watching kids jump and run, and now I'm sitting back.
Wow.
And chatting.
That's actually a good time to drink, is when you've been outside all day, because you're completely and thoroughly dehydrated. So a good time to add alcohol to the mix.
I agree.
The only thing that would have made the day better is if I could have been sipping from a flask while I was watching them all.
No, kids, you can't drink from my water
do
bottle.
Their thing.
No. Here, drink out of this bottle.
Oh, we were at a party last night, and they had a big punch bowl full of sangria. And my youngest went over there and started to pour herself a glass because it just looked like punch. And I'm like, no, stop.
That's funny.
Anyhow, we're totally I do.
Oh yeah, yeah, we're totally derailed, but you know,
whatever. I blame Murray. So
yeah,
I'm not the one reading sex.
Good point.
That is you.
And that's a smart move on your part, because it's not. It's been boring. The comic book sex has been boring. So, but I still don't want my kids going online and checking it out.
No.
Or Saga, or my issues of Saga, for that matter. So.
No.
Oh, I tell you, you people.
Do not want them seeing the giant scrot guy.
No.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't want
nobody
that.
Wants to see.
No. Nobody expected the Spanish Inquisition either.
No. Hey, take a drink.
I wish I had one. I just got a bunch of empty beer bottles on the floor. Damn it. Aide is slacking off again.
Living the bachelor life.
Yeah, pretty much. I gotta watch it though, because, you know, the kid can come in here all the time, anytime, so...
Those are all left over from when you were watching the Indy on, what was that, Sunday or Saturday, whatever day that was?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I don't remember. It's all a blur. One quick note before we start. Remember, we talked about on the Facebook page that Infinite Crisis game.
We haven't started yet?
Yeah, we started.
Okay.
Yeah, we introduced ourselves.
Seriously start, let's put it that way. We're rambling right now. This is the pre-show ramble. I mean, we're live and all, but anyway.
Okay.
Anyway, Infinite Crisis game. Talked about it on the Facebook page. I got in the beta. Played for 3 minutes. It sucks totally. Anyway,
what?
Moving on. I signed an NDA, but I'm going to tell you that anyway. Save your money. Don't waste your time if you get a beta. Yeah, it's bad. Boring.
All right.
Anyway, just thought I'd get that out there. Anyway, Valiant Comics.
Is it as bad as the Final Crisis comic book?
Worse, actually.
Careful.
Hey, it is, I'm telling you.
I know anyway. It's two separate stories, but come on.
Oh, it wasn't all bad.
Yes, it was.
It was just a lot bad.
Not all bad. I refuse to debate it, because that would mean me opening a copy of it again and actually pulling out every single
I'm not
dialogue, and I refuse.
Probably ever going to do that again either.
I know I've got it kicking around. I'm probably due for a reread of that at some point.
Yeah, maybe.
I'll tell you what, Murray. If you say yes, week X, we're going to read Final Crisis and have a discussion about it, I will, in fact, bust open a bottle of JD.
Oh, now, there you go. I'd like to get it in one volume, though, but I do have all the issues somewhere.
Now, does the one volume include the Superman stupidity?
I think it does. Actually, I like that better than the rest of it, personally.
Well, you liked Superman singing? I didn't get that one. I don't have it in my collection.
For some reason, I understood that a little bit more, or I connected with it more than I did the entire rest of it. Of course, there was some of the miniseries I thought were better than the original title, but anyway, we'll shelve that for later because that's a great topic. Let me write that down.
Okay.
And again, honest to God, if you guys are willing to have an extended conversation surrounding Final Crisis, I will in fact somehow slog through that mess again.
All right. Once report cards are out of the way, we can read through it.
No, I'm all through that. Let's do that. Yeah, that would be fun, actually.
Hey, the week after my surgery, I might even be on some good pain meds, so it might be...
easier to take. Yeah, we're going to get some in the can for that, don't we?
It might not be a bad week to... Oh, look. Superman singing. How nice. Oh,
my God. I'm on drugs, and it all makes sense now.
It makes sense. That's my Grant Morrison. Hey.
Oh, no. That's okay. All right. Here we go. Valiant Comics?
The point being is that so far... A year in, I don't think there's been much of a drop off in quality for Valiant on any of their titles. In fact, I would go so far as to say a couple of them have actually gone up from beginning to now. So
yes, I would agree with that.
Now that said, I don't read Bloodshot and I don't read EXO, so I can't speak intelligently on either of those.
EXO's about the same. Bloodshot, I think, has gotten better. And it's great to see some Barry Kitson art in the last couple issues. Or was that in Harbinger Wars?
No, he was on Harbinger. He did an issue of Harbinger, but has he been doing Bloodshot as well?
Maybe that's where I saw him, because Bloodshot's been in both.
Wow.
I'll have to look. But anyway, which ones are you reading any of them, Murray? We never did ask you.
I'm not.
Not reading any of them?
Nope.
Not even one?
I am a DC snob.
Oh my God, man. Okay, well.
You will read Uncanny Avengers and you won't read Archer.
Yeah, I'm calling BS on that one.
Not Uncanny Avengers anymore either.
Oh, you don't read that? However,
I only read one step.
Okay.
I only read one issue of Uncanny Avengers. Okay, I read more issues of plain old regular Avengers, but you can convince me. Convince me.
Well, I have to tell you, I am ashamed to say that I've read more than one issue of Uncanny Avengers. I think I've read four or five, and I doubt I'll ever pick up another one again. It's just too... Ew, I don't know. It just makes me feel depressed after I'm done reading it. Something about it. I don't know. All right, well, let's go through these things.
So so Murray.
Yeah.
I will do a sales pitch on an off-the-cuff sales pitch for Archer and Armstrong to you. Have you ever read any Fred Van Lente stuff?
I want to say I have. Yes, I've read comic book comics.
Yes, that's a great thing.
And Alpha Flight. He did those that Alpha Flight aborted series about 2 years ago.
Yeah, I didn't read that one because I wasn't fond of the artist.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I stayed away from that one.
Did you like comic book comics?
Well, yeah, but it's not a story. It's like... Just gag, history. I don't think I've read anything else by Fred Van Lente. Well, but I've heard good things.
Let's look at this here.
Do you like buddy cop movies?
Yeah, think of Lethal Weapon.
No.
Okay. Okay. No.
You don't like what was that one that Jackie Chan and Chris Tucker? What was that?
Ugh. Gross.
Oh yeah, the first one was all right. What the hell was that?
Rush Hour. Rush
yes.
Hour. No, not a fan. Okay, how about? All right, how about
48 Hours.
Bleh.
Oh, uh-oh. Wait a minute.
Beverly Hills Cop.
Bleh.
But that wasn't a buddy cop movie.
No, not really. That was an Eddie Murphy movie.
Well, I didn't like it either.
Okay.
Didn't he have a buddy in it?
Good no? Lord. Well, not a full-time one.
No,
okay. I'm looking at his list. Fred Van Lente's list of comics here.
The crazy dude with the long hair.
Mm-hmm.
Who, there were like four or five movies, and the one guy had a daughter, and, he's gone crazy now. Like, he's Australian, he's got 800 kids and a wife, and I think they're separated now. Who is he?
Lethal Weapon?
Lethal Weapon, yeah, I didn't like those ones either. Blah! That was a buddy cop movie.
Yeah. Then, did you ever read the Hercules series that was out?
Incredible Hercules.
No, I should have. I bet that would have been good.
Okay. So what else we got? Yeah, I was looking at his list, and one of them in here was the NEM and Punisher series.
The what?
You know that rapper NEM? I call him M&M's, but that's just me. That did that movie 8 Mile.
Sure.
Somehow he got DC to let him do a Punisher series. And that's who wrote it, apparently.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Okay, how about... Okay, let's try a different...
Cowboys and Aliens? He's the one that wrote that? Son of a bitch. Lucky boy, he's got some dough.
Try a different tech. Do you like conspiracy stories?
Yeah.
Fred Van Lente.
Did you read Da Vinci Code?
No. The thing with conspiracy stories is it involves lots of thinking and remembering. And
yeah. That ain't my thing.
How about, do you like God? I don't know. I'm kidding.
Shit, you're killing me, man.
God, we don't have him up here in Canada.
He did some of the Spider-Man stuff back, like big time.
You know what? I might have read some of his Spider-Man stuff, maybe.
The Gauntlet. Maybe. Looks like he was did some of the Gauntlet, volumes 1, 4, and 3, the 24/7 storyline he did some on. Oh, yeah, volume 2 of the Gauntlet. Redheaded Strength. Yeah, he was one of the brain trusts there for a while.
No, I totally believe you. Fred Van Lente is probably very, very, very good. And I should check him out. Is this the book that had Clayton Henry on art? Is he still doing art? Because that would be another selling point.
He's not, but he did the first arc.
Okay.
He did do the first arc, and the new guy, maybe it's a chick, I don't know, Emanuela Lupacino.
Let's see, number 9 is the last one. Well, excluding...
I think she is not going to be the regular artist because she's coming on to World's Finest for a couple of issues, I think.
Interesting.
Well, that's good because she – if you like Clayton Henry, she –
I did like it.
Perez is the current – is the new current artist. And they have the same – they do the same facial expressions. It's kind of the Kevin Maguire-ish type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that sounds good.
It's tongue-in-cheek. You can't take it too seriously. Like if you look at the cover for number 11, it's got a play on the Brady Bunch checkerboard thing. Cut that out.
I don't remember that.
Oh, you know what I'm talking about. You know at the beginning where they're all, you know, the nine.
Oh, yeah. They do that, don't they?
Looking around. Oh, there's Alice. Oh, look, I can see Don Marsha's shirt. You know, that one.
That's right. They invented that. Ooh, there are little aliens. So there's aliens in this book.
There will be, I guess. Yes. Hmm. And dinosaurs, apparently. Wow, cool. And MacArthur. Or it looks like MacArthur.
Okay.
Okay. So the big concept here is there is a this guy Archer is this naive member of this family, the Archer family, who heads up this group that is the head of this like almost Catholic like Illuminati group.
Which, you know, you find out there's more than one of those in this, I believe.
Right. But
anyway, go ahead.
So he's also, this kid Archer is also a super trained, super assassin, hand-to-hand combat guy who is also the most polite kid you're ever going to have the opportunity to meet.
Yeah, he says gosh and golly and things like that.
Everybody's sir, everybody's ma'am, everybody's Mr. and Mrs. whatever. And he meets up with the immortal, spear-swilling dame, kissing Armstrong.
Which he was trained from almost birth to kill.
Yes, yes. They're supposed to be enemies. But Armstrong convinces him that, no, in fact, Archer's real enemy is his own family. And they go on adventures to fight the conspiracy. And in the meantime, they meet up with the goddess of the earth and start bringing along her mortal representative is now part of their little cabal.
And also
Armstrong's brother, who is the eternal warrior, who takes it all a little bit more seriously than Armstrong does.
Mm-hmm.
And who's going to get it? Apparently he's going to get his own book here soon.
Yeah, they had it in the old days. Yeah, I don't know if you've read the Zero issue or not, but they reveal just who the two of them are historically.
Yeah, they're from if you know the poem or the story of
Gilgamesh.
Gilgamesh, thank you.
That's the very first story I ever discovered.
So, Mr. Teacher there, if you know Gilgamesh, then you know Armstrong and the Eternal Warrior.
Right. I'm very familiar with Gilgamesh. He's a student in my room.
But yeah, I thought that was a really good twist on how they did that. I really liked that issue. I remember studying Gilgamesh in at least two or three different literature classes, so that was a lot of fun reading that.
I know. You like Scrubs. Yes, I know you like Scrubs, and you like Cougar Town.
I love Cougar Town.
Okay, now I want to hear this.
Of Cougar Town?
Okay, no. Okay, so basically those shows, Scrubs and Cougar Town, for the most part are just, you know, pure comedy. But they throw in some pathos. Every once in a while there's this pause and everyone's just like, oh crap, reality. And then it gets back to the funny. But that's what Archer and Armstrong is frequently like that, where you know, you get a lot of, you know, kind of slapstick stuff going on, and then they, you know, then they have to deal with the the serious stuff. Every once in a while.
Okay. If you're telling me it's like Cougar Town in comics, I will check it out.
Wow.
That has sold. Buddy comedy, blah. But Cougar Town, I will grab my big Carl and I will sit down with an issue.
Yeah, there's a lot of good. He's got the same kind of, because I mean, he put a good amount of humor in comic book comics, little, you know, jokes here and there, and there's a lot of that in this too. So
yes. Oh, and his that I'm actually a fan of this guy when he was doing. He got me to read a book about freaking Hercules. So.
I don't know if he's that good to get me to do that, but I like his work. I started reading it because of the comic book comics. I really enjoyed it. I didn't realize he had done a lot of the good Spider-Man stuff.
First issue, the Zero issue, or the latest issue?
The first issue is the first issue. The Zero issue comes after.
I'm not
nine.
Checking out the latest one. Damn,
yeah.
Stuff.
Yeah. Zero comes. Zero.
Yeah, yeah. But is the first issue like
number one?
That would be the best place to start.
Yes.
That's going to be the best example of this issue, or of this book?
Yes.
Number one.
So there's a new story arc that starts with number 10, and my guess is the way the Valiant works is they do a really, really great job of catching you up. They fairly, mm-hmm. comprehensive.
It's like they're all doing – oh, sorry. Look.
Sorry.
Looks like they're all doing 1 through 9 and then a 0 and then number 10.
The ones that started before, yes. Arjun Armstrong, Harbinger, and Bloodshot, and Exile.
Yeah, I take that back. They didn't do that with Bloodshot.
Oh, well.
Bloodshot is 1 through 11.
Yeah, well, liar, liar, pants on fire.
Well, it just seemed like they did that. Oh, yeah, never mind. Exo Man of War, they didn't do that either. They did a zero issue of Shadow Man, but they did that after issue 6.
Well, that didn't start at the same time as the other ones.
No, it didn't, and I still don't know what the hell I'm talking about, so.
Yeah, no, Shadow Man and Quantum and Woody which hadn't started yet, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think that's next month sometime.
But yeah, Bloodshot, Harbinger, and Exo all started around the same time.
Yeah, I think there was
Archer and Armstrong.
No. Well, yeah, they were each a month apart.
Staggered. Okay.
Yeah, I remember that now. That was right about the time that I left the dark place. But yeah, I really like this book. It's a lot of fun. It's what?
No.
It's true. Anyway, and one thing you talked about the conspiracy stuff, and you know you don't want too much thinky. Well, you really don't have to think that much in this book. I mean, you can if you want, but it's just fun.
Yes, and by the way, if you are looking at that cover to number 11, Murray, Archer is the guy on the left hand middle, and Armstrong is the right hand middle. Column.
Yeah, so, this is actually
Archer would be Jan Brady.
Oh, okay.
And
now I know what you're talking about.
Peter Brady.
10 doesn't come out until.
And I'm actually at a loss next week as to who the two top left hand guys are and the bottom right hand guy is. Those must be.
Yeah, that does look more like MacArthur, doesn't it?
And the one in the bottom middle is Archer's half sister, who he's in love with.
Yes, I just read that number 10. His half sister, love interest.
Yeah, that's weird.
And she's a psych. And she is nuts to the nuts.
Yeah, yeah, because she wanted to be the one that was picked to be the assassin, and she still believes in the cause. So yeah,
I love that cover number 10, the Batman ish cover.
Oh yeah, I didn't even think about that, but you're right.
Look at that. That's cool.
That is cool. Oh, look at the variant after that.
I'd like to go back.
It's like Donkey Kong.
An Inquisitor. These are great.
Okay, it looks like it's got a sense of humor. I may just check it out.
Alrighty. I don't know where the alien came from, but hey, whatever, man.
Area 51.
Well, because they are heading to Area 51. They have talked about that area.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, okay.
That's where all the aliens are kept.
Yep. They haven't caught me yet, but.
Well, you left the dark place.
That's true, I did. All right, that's Archer and Armstrong. So, okay, there you go.
These variant covers are awesome. Wow, I haven't even seen some of these.
Yeah, I know. They don't do like DC does and include them in their digital.
Jackasses.
They just give you like black and white pencils, which I kind of thought was I kind of think it's a little on the lame side, but you know, whatever. Oh, somebody's got that. Did DC do something stupid today? Thread going again. Got like 4 posts in the last 2 minutes. I tell you, you people, you're animals. Anyway,
I think I think you would like again. Leave the brain at the door, and you will appreciate the book.
You love Morning Glories, and I don't. I mean, that's like the most obtuse thing I think I've read in years.
That's thinky, but only to a point, because then you get caught up in the characters.
I think I
that's
still...
all character thinky. I can do character thinky like that.
Okay.
Wow. Story thinky, not so much.
I don't think...
I am so lost on that book right now, it's not...
Yeah, I don't even think I've finished the second volume, and I bought the third, I don't know. It's so very, hard to very, keep track.
One. The one that just came out, mm-hmm. it's total new reader friendly. It's like, here's what's happening, and they have a text page, and they're like, you should read this, you should make sure you notice this, because this is important, and they tell you everything. It doesn't give you answers, but it's like, hey, we're so close to giving you answers that you're going to buy the next issue, and then we're going to maybe give you answers. But not answers, just like little baby answers, but there, ooh, it was Bastards. A good one.
Bastards. It's like baby they did with Lost, isn't it?
No.
There's a Bloodshot number zero coming.
No. Okay, yeah, go on, Bloodshot.
Bloodshot!
Tell me on Bloodshot. I've liked his appearances, by the way.
At all.
Okay, well, let's see. Let me look at the next issue here. Bloodshot number 11. I think it's this. Now, looks like they're going to have a change of writers. It's been Dwayne Swierczynski, the ill-fated Birds of Prey, but looks like somebody else is taking over here soon.
Josh Dysart.
Is it?
Yeah, Josh Dysart is going to take over.
Oh, okay. Well, the one I looked at, I think it was 12. No, 12 is still him. 13 is... Yeah, it is him. Okay, well... I thought I saw Matt Kent on there somewhere. But Barry Kitson has been doing the art.
Wait a minute, back up. If you can say Matt Kent in the same sentence as a Valiant title, Murray will probably buy it.
I could have sworn I saw that name. Maybe the drugs
that
kicked
was
in.
Dwayne. That's Barry.
Yeah, he's been doing Bloodshot, which I love. I love always love Barry stuff.
And Barry. This is Dwayne and Barry.
I don't know where the hell I got that.
Here we go. Matt Kent and Chris Cross take on Valiant's Bloodshot in August. They're doing a number zero issue.
Oh, that's where I saw it. Okay.
There you go. So the August zero issue of Bloodshot will be Matt Kent, but from my discussion with Mr. Dysart at the con on Sunday, he's going to be the...
He will be right. Okay. All right, let's. What is this about? Well, I'll tell you.
Chris Cross, god damn.
Basically, he is a soldier with nanites in him that he can actually communicate with, but they heal all damage. They keep him alive. He can change his face and things like that. And he wakes up at one point, and his real identity is completely unknown to him, and they've been putting these fake identities on him just to give him something to be motivated for him to do these missions. And as you find out, Harbinger and this title kind of dovetail, because he's part of a thing called Project Rising Spirit, and a rogue from that thing is what helped awaken him. But yeah, he was part of Project Rising Spirit, which is something to help curb the Scions, or was Psyots? That's what they call them in this company. And yeah, he's a military badass. And so yeah, it's a fun series. He's trying to find out, you know, who he is. He ends up helping a bunch of kids that they had holed up, and ends up getting involved with Harbinger and fighting them, and it's a cool series. Now, I got two words for you. Nanite vomit. Something to look forward to. And, I don't know, what was that in Harbinger Wars? But anyway, I think Dystart does Harbinger Wars, doesn't he?
Yes, sir.
That's a good book, too. Like that. Like that book.
It is a good book. No, I agree. It's been a good crossover, and not knowing Anything about Bloodshot, I don't feel lost.
No, they've done a really good job of making sure you don't need to read both on that one. If you read everything, you can kind of you get a little bit more, but not as much. But yeah, Barry Kitson's art's on that lightly. I forget who they started with, but it's still pretty good. It's really good art, and it's just a if you like the military thing. But there's a lot of good, you know, a lot of psychological stuff in there. A little bit of conspiracy theory, but it's not that thick. You know, he just goes in there and there's people get shot up. He gets shot up and he heals and gets shot up again. And anyway, it's a lot of fun. I like the book. It's a lot more serious than Archer and Armstrong. That is for sure. But gotcha. It's a good book. I don't know how else to describe it besides that.
Is he a good guy or is he a bad guy or do we kind of not really know?
I would say he really is. He'll do whatever he can and whatever it takes. Well, he's not going to kill kids. We find that out. But his goal is finding out who he is. So whatever he's got to do to make that happen, that's what he's going to do. But he's generally, I would say he was generally good because he does help people. So.
Now, is he helping people to help himself? Is it kind of a...
No, he's helping other people too. But and number 10 is when Barry Kitson signs on, and they're calling that a good starting on point. So you don't necessarily have to read the whole entire thing. This is a new arc starts. There's a lot of good stuff going on. I remember reading that. Yeah, that would be a good spot to jump on because a lot of the answers he didn't have except for who he is has been answered, and you know pretty much the whole story at that point. So, I mean, that's always a good one to jump onto.
And then I vomit.
So, anyway, Barry Kitson, I mean, you know, does a great job on that book. Oh, yeah, there's a good variant for that with his art, too. Jeez. But yeah, Harbinger, Bloodshot, and that's around the time the Harbinger War starts. And there's another book I thought that they all kind of went together.
No, it's just those two right now.
Yeah,
those two that are.
Yeah, that's right.
Are tying together though. There is apparently there's a bigger event coming for Valiant later this year, but. Mm-hmm. That's not a good selling point.
Yeah, I really didn't do the book justice, but because of there's a lot of plot elements that, you know, you need to discover on your own. But I've given you the gist of it, and you know, like I said, number 10, it says it's a good starting point, and with the Barry Kitson art, that's good stuff. So, I think he actually, you know, the cover is Barry Kitson, I think, on number 9, but I could be wrong. No, it's not. No idea. But anyway. I think it's a good book. A lot of action. A little on the bloody side. But I don't know. I think it's a good one.
Does he have a supporting cast?
He does now. He picked up a couple of people when he's breaking into places trying to find things, find out who he is. At least one woman and a bunch of psionic kids right now.
Right, but that's tied more into the
Harbinger. The Harbinger Wars. Whether they stay that way or not, I don't know.
I just remember it's got the name. It's got the word blood in the title.
Yeah. Okay. Here we go.
Can't get too thinky with the word blood in the title, Murray.
Yeah. You are Bloodshot. You are the shade of gray that freedom requires, the perfect confluence of military necessity and cutting-edge technology, a walking WikiLeaks, a reservoir of dirty secrets that could set the world on fire, and you've just been captured. That's what the little thing says on there.
Now you're going to Disneyland.
Yeah. So anyway, don't really do it justice, but there you go.
Nah.
What about you? I didn't do a good job on it.
No, I don't read it, so I'm actually.
Well, I tell you, if you like Harbinger, when they move together, it's really good, I think. When all that stuff starts tying together.
And the crossover feels very organic. It doesn't feel like, well, they needed to force these two titles to have some kind of sales boost. It was actually, it felt right.
I thought it was very organic.
Yeah. I think that's what it said.
And they both have Dysart and the other guy's, you know, name on it, so.
Yeah.
They do it. I mean, I think they're doing a good job with it, personally.
I do as well.
Next
Murray,
up.
Murray, just so you know, I lost my train of thought. Never mind. I don't remember what I was going to say. Damn it. I had something really clever to say, and I totally forgot it.
Damn.
It was clever, too. Harbinger. Harbinger the is kind of a team book with lead characters, this kid named Peter, who is a former drug user, psychopath, who is incredibly powerful psionic.
I think the reason he went into drugs was to because he was such a powerful telepath, he couldn't control it.
Oh, no, absolutely. No, but it's just he didn't know.
So yeah,
he
yeah.
He just did drugs.
You find out that a lot of the people that are born with powers, they aren't activated until something activates them. But he was born with his powers full on, and it doesn't happen very often. But anyway, go ahead.
No, that's true. And he so his whole life he's kind of been kind of screwed up, and eventually he realizes what he's capable of, and he starts going around and starts activating other kids and realizing that there's actually this another conspiracy group out there who's been collecting these kids to train them as warriors. I can't remember the name of that group now.
Harbinger.
Harbinger. But there's the other one, the one with the Asian guy.
That's the one that recruits him. But he ends up, you know, escaping, but yeah. Toyo Harada.
Project Rising Spirit with Harada, yes.
No. Project Rising Spirit is the ones that are against the Scions.
Oh.
Harada is the ones that's for them.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
It is a little confusing.
I know. It is.
It's very involved. And Josh Dysart is incredibly wordy, but his dialogue is clever.
I think so, yeah.
The art has been very nice. We've had Kari Evans lately. And Kitson did do an issue.
Yeah, he did.
I can't remember. Who did the early one? Scrolling.
I'm looking.
Oh, it was Kari Evans the whole time.
Yeah, it has been.
They had fairly consistent art from beginning to end, which is always good. The characters are really engaging. They're not. None of them are perfect. There's a kid who his power is to make basically a holographic projection of a cool buff guy around himself, but he's actually a
typical high school dumbass jock.
Yeah, but in reality, he's a handicapped kid.
Yeah.
Who very low self esteem, and then there's a chubby girl whose power is to be able to fly.
Yeah, she's a typical geek like us. She's into Firefly and all that stuff.
Oh, she is hardcore geek, isn't she?
Yes, she is.
And then Peter's ex girlfriend. Who he at one point manipulated into loving into being his girlfriend.
Yeah, as in mind control.
And she has no powers.
No, but she's very, very smart.
Yes. And so they are hard traveling heroes going across the nation trying to find other kids to help. And they've ended up in Vegas with all these kids that Bloodshot freed from Project Rising Spirit. Who have taken over, I don't know which hotel it was in Vegas, but...
It's the Bellagio.
The Bellagio?
Yeah.
So right now, they're all kicking it in Vegas, killing people. Not the
Most Harvard of them staff. Deserved it.
Yeah. Yeah, they call themselves the Renegades, by the way. Thanks. Whatever. So, I don't know, it's well-written. The art is good. I like the characters. They're flawed. Oh, my God, are they ever flawed.
Yeah, they are definitely flawed, that's for sure.
But they're for the most part, they're likable. And
now they're just trying to survive. Because, you know, he gets recruited by this Harada guy, and then he finds out, you know, he's not exactly the nicest guy. But I don't think there really is anybody pure in this book, except for maybe Archer.
Except for who?
Archer from Archer and Armstrong.
The kid. Oh, in any of the books? Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Well, the girl, what is her name? The heavyset girl in Harbinger.
Zephyr is her code name.
Right. She's just hanging out, so to speak.
Yeah, she just wants to be a superhero.
Yep. She likes being a superhero.
Yeah, the other group you were thinking, they call themselves the Renegades.
Right.
So you got these, like, four groups, you know, it's pretty nasty.
So, it's if you like well-written books, Murray, this is a well-written book.
Yeah, he is really good. I'm glad we had him on the show. How many issues were we in to the series when we had him on?
Like three or four.
Was it? We need to have him on again.
He said after con season he'd be happy to come back. So.
Oh, awesome. Because I really enjoy this book. Yeah. Really do.
So it's not really Teen Titans-y, but it's...
It's more of Uncanny X-Men like it is now, really. It's closer to that.
But it's like a young cast.
Oh, yeah, they're all young, yeah.
I'm trying to think. Kind of reminds me of, in a way of, and it's probably not a very good comparison, but I keep flashing on New Mutants, the early days of New Mutants.
I never read that very much, but I'll accept that. Yeah.
Way back in the Chris Claremont, Bob McLeod days.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's way back.
Okay, so if I were going to try this one, would I start with one, or doesn't it matter?
I would start with one.
Ooh, wow.
Is that going to be the best? I want a really good story. I don't want, like, a whatever.
Well, see, it builds up a lot. I think they're all interconnected, and you get a good piece of it with each issue. I mean, you could.
If I jumped in the middle, would I get more pieces, and then I could go back and look at those pieces better?
I think it's
better to dive in the middle and then go back than to start at the beginning and wait to get through all that.
You could start when Harbinger would start, maybe.
That's pretty recent. That was number 10 or number 9.
Mm-hmm. I think it is 10, maybe number 9.
Boy, I would even go so far as to say you. Oh, I forgot about the chick who can blow things up.
With the flames.
Yeah, who's a big whore. you know what? Again, and I think I said it before. You could jump in on almost any issue.
I think you could. They have recap pages, don't they?
Yeah, they have great recap pages. Trying to figure out which issue was the Kitson issue to kind of number 7 is a good one because it's a standalone, but it also continues the story. So that's a good, you know. Right now, I think we're up to number 11 or 12.
Let me look.
And there's been a 0 issue.
Yeah, it had to. Yeah. Mm-hmm. 12 was the last one out. I think 0 came out before that.
Actually, 0 came between 8 and 9, according to their little timeline.
Oh, okay. There you go. Yeah.
But 7's a good one with the Kitson. The 0 issues are kind of neat. They're different than what you expect from a 0 issue. It gives you. They're almost designed as Easter eggs for people who are already reading the books.
Yeah, I would go with that. That's a good analogy.
I don't think they're great jumping on points for anyone, unfortunately. But which you'd think a 0 issue would be.
Yeah.
Because I would say
stay away from 0.
I would say as a standalone issue, for instance, like the Archer and Armstrong number 0 is cool as a standalone, mm-hmm. but I don't think it's a good entry into the series.
No. You need to know some of the other stuff first, for sure.
And I honestly, I can't say that I remember the Harbinger 0 issue, so.
It was basically an origin issue of that Toyo Harado guy.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I see their description here. Okay.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah, so just more insight into one of the major players in the book, but definitely doesn't give you, I don't think it gives you anything to go on for the current story, the storyline that's running in the book.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So I would say, number one, I mean,
that was the first, that, no wait, Exo Man of War was the first one that came out. That's one of my favorite books, though, of all of them.
Is let's see, Comixology, is number one cheaper?
Yeah, I believe it is. Let me look, double check. It is now, I already have them all up. Yeah, it is $2.99 right now.
There you go.
It's 32 pages. They're usually all 32 pages, from what I've seen.
Now, that's a bit of a...
No, I take that back. Of course, number two is 29 pages. Anyway, never mind. I'm going to quit saying things like that.
It's a little false to say. It's not 32 pages of story, though.
That's true.
They throw in some cool black and white versions of the pages that are in the book to give you an idea of how the art is building. Gives you some back, some behind the curtain stuff.
All righty. So Harbinger, is it tied to Harbinger Wars at all? Because that looks like that's one of their comics.
Yeah, yeah.
But
actually, yeah, Bloodshot and Harbinger kind of go into both of those.
And I can't speak for Bloodshot, of course, but Harbinger is a standalone series from Harbinger Wars. Now, there are components that cross over, but so far I would be comfortable in saying that you do not need to be reading Harbinger Wars to keep up with Harbinger. Now, I can't...
Mm-mm. I don't think so.
And I would say the other way around, too. I'd say if you're just reading Harbinger Wars, it's a pretty good standalone as well.
Ooh, but that's where Clayton Henry is.
Where, Harbinger Wars?
Yeah.
He's one
of the artists.
There you go. And if you're a Clayton Henry fan, it's only four issues. Or is it five issues?
Well, they got a free sketchbook as well. So that's three, counting that.
Yeah,
but that's four issues total of the actual series.
Is it like a mini?
Yeah, it's a mini series.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting.
They had a Harbinger Wars special for Free Comic Book Day, but I don't think I ever got a copy of that.
Oh, shit.
No, I think it's just a look at it, but yeah, one and two of that's come out, and I really enjoyed them.
So there you go. The sales pitch on Harbinger: good team book, well written, good characters. If you don't mind your characters being flawed, every single character being flawed.
Yeah, there's a lot of flaws out there, man.
And it does. There are some graphic moments, like heads exploding and stuff, but it's usually people who deserve to have their heads exploded.
Yeah. So that makes it okay. We all know that, right?
There is swearing. There are references to Joss Whedon many times. What else? It's not too thinky.
No, it's not.
Okay.
I'm trying to think what it reminds me of. Why I like it.
Remember the Shazam TV show where the guy goes around? No, no,
no. No, no, no. That's not why.
Mentor and no. Okay.
No, I don't. I can't think of it. I'll have to think about it. Anyway.
It's good though. I would say to his face, it's my second favorite of the Valiant title. So, right after Archer and Armstrong.
Yeah, I really enjoy it.
Now, Exo Man of War, again, not reading it, Chris. You're the salesman for Exo Man of War.
Okay, I was not gonna read this, but for the show, I tried out the first issue. And I really like it. I don't know how close it is to the original, but basically this is the premise. Is Eric of Dacia was a Visigoth back in the Roman times, right? And his people.
Anybody Visigoth? Define that, please. What is that?
Yeah. Basically, they were at war with the Romans. Well, but and then all of a sudden, these aliens called the Vine show up, take him and pretty much all his people prisoner on this ship, and the first couple issues kind of outline, it's like decades where they're basically slaves, you know, doing stuff on the ship, slave labor and whatever. And these Vine, they worship this armor called the Shannara, and every time they have one of their people try to get into the armor, they die miserably. And he ends up getting into, you know, he finally does an escape and talks to everybody, you know, a lot of the others to escape, and as soon as they get in the same room, the armor gets onto him, and he, you know, breaks loose. And then he finds out, due to the way, you know, warp speed and faster than light travel, all that works out, it's been hundreds of years, thousands of years since his time, and now he's on Earth in the present day. And then it just goes from there.
So it's a display, a man out of time story.
Yeah, it's just right now they're going through a dead, I think it's the Dead World storyline. I think 13 was the last one that came out. Yeah, Planet Death, part 3. You know, things happen to the point where the Vines say, you know, and, you know, they've had agents on Earth ever since then that are, you know, they've mingled with our race, and so they're part Vine or whatever. But they get to the point where, you know, they take enough losses that, okay, we're done with Earth and they're going to destroy it, and that's what they're in the middle of. And, you know, lots of fighting and, yeah, it's good stuff. It's really good. Not much thinking in it either. I mean, this guy's, like I said, he's from thousands of years before Christ was born, you know, Roman times. Actually, that's probably closer to when Christ was born. But anyway, yeah, Roman times, and so, you know, he just goes in and he just tears crap up and kills aliens.
Chilling and illing.
Mm-hmm. It's a really good book. This was the one I was least interested in, because everything I'd seen of it when it was originally, it's like, that doesn't interest me at all. And I didn't even know anything about it. I read a little bit about the plot, bought the first issue, and I've been reading it ever since. That's my pitch.
It sucked you in.
It did. It did suck me in. Robert Venditti is the one that writes it. I don't think I've ever heard of him. But that doesn't mean anything. But it's really good. The art's good. I think Carrie Nord's been doing it since day one. I don't know. It's almost got a... I don't know. It's the way it's drawn and the way it is, it's got a very raw feel to it. You know, he obviously, it's a typical, you know, warrior mentality that he has, and it's good stuff. I really do like it.
Is he floating solo, or is he making connections with the other?
Well, let's see. He ran into Ninjak, which is the only time. Eventually, he's going to be his own comic, but he ended up. See, how does it work? Yeah. At one point, when one of the Vine's operatives on Earth found out that they were just going to do the slash and burn thing because they didn't want to deal with it, it's like, this, you know, this is his home planet. So that's when he set, they had him captured, the armor, him and the armor captured, and he let him go, and he's working with him to fight them. But he's kind of on his own right now. So I don't want to ruin everything, because there's kind of a twist there at the end. And,
Now, has it had a zero issue, or...
I do not believe so. Let me double check. No.
This is not... How many issues have we had so far?
13.
Oh, so this was their first book, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. It was their first one.
And per Murray's question earlier, they're a good jumping on point.
Let me see. Let me see here. I would think... if you're going to do anything, maybe number 6. Number 8, looking at it. All the Ninjak's been there. That's when the, the guy, betrayed his Vine Masters. And then that kicks right into the Planet Death storyline, which is still going on. So if you started with 8, you kind of get a feel of it, and then, because the first 3 issues is basically, at least maybe 2, where they find out, he doesn't even get the armor until number 3. So you could bypass a lot of that if you start with number 8 and work your way on down, and then maybe go pick the others up later.
Boy, it's got a really good pedigree, this book. They've had... on the pre stuff, they had Jim Shooter on writing, Brian Augustine, Mark Wade wrote some of the previous series.
Did he?
Dwayne McDuffie wrote some.
Crap, I need to pick some of that up then.
Kerry Nord has done the current art. Bob Layton.
I don't know why I never wanted to read it. There was something about it, and it just didn't do...
Well, Shooter and Layton were working on it together at one point. God, I love me some Bob Layton. I think that guy is an awesome artist.
Yeah, he is. I really always liked his art.
There's been, there's been
It's like it's exactly the same. Steve, yeah. Barry Windsor Smith pencils. Number 1, yeah.
I'm going to have to check it out.
Yeah, it's a really good book. And I really enjoy it. I'm surprised they don't have Dr. Solar in their Valiant universe.
Is he a Valiant character?
He was at one point, yeah. Dark Horse had rights to him, and Jim Shooter actually wrote that, and it wasn't really all that good.
I like the first 2 issues of it, and it did.
I don't think I even read the second one. Yeah, but anyway,
right around then, and then died a very, very indignant death. Ah, but they are talking about, on the Valiant New Universe website, whatever, that in 2015 they may pick it up.
Oh, Dr. Solar? Really?
Yes.
Sweet.
So, another year and a half. Anyhow, off topic.
Well,
sorry.
We might be still working on getting the rights.
That and Magnus. I know that was one of their books as well.
Yeah, see, it was funny. Those were one of the ones I don't know where I got them, but those two, Dr. Solar and the other, that Magnus, were ones I remember having old issues of.
So, now, Murray, if you have any interest in this universe, this Valiant universe, Quantum and Woody is starting up here in a couple weeks, and it will be very tongue-in-cheek, clearly, because there's a goat in it.
Yeah, a goat.
And it looks like Ninjak will be
later on.
Skills there as well.
Yeah, that looks like interesting.
At some point, Ninjak will be jumping in there. I don't know when.
Check this out. They got that tab at the top says upcoming. You click on that, and you can add Outlook reminders for when the issues come out.
Clever.
I thought so. Very nice.
And there's also Shadow Man, which we didn't discuss. Is that...
Did we skip one?
Shadow Man. I don't read it.
I read that as well.
You are reading them all.
Yeah, I literally am.
There were a million dreams in the Big Easy, but now its worst nightmare is about to come true. Okay, so... Sorry.
Let's see. Pretty much in a Jack nutshell.
Boneface. His name is Jack Bonyface.
Yeah, actually, he does have a bony face.
Uh-huh.
You want to read that?
Yeah, you have to read it with a French accent, though.
Oh, well, I don't have a French accent. I can't do that, sorry. I can barely do the English accent. Basically, in a nutshell, What?
Get Scott Coles to read it in French accent.
Basically, his father was Shadow Man, and now he's Shadow Man, and Shadow Man is like a mystic guardian keeping demons from coming into our world. That's pretty much the gist of it.
Okay, so is he more or less mopey than Angel?
Oh, he's not mopey at all so far. Because he didn't even have any idea. Well, actually, both of his parents did that stuff. And to keep him safe, they put an amulet on him. So he didn't even know what the deal was. All as far as he knew, his parents were like, you know, robbers and killers or whatever. But that was just stuff that happened to them fighting demons. And then he inadvertently discovers, so there's like two or three issues where he's like, I don't want anything to do with this, and then it's like, all of a sudden, oh yeah, I'm taking this and running with it. And that's where it goes from there. Now the Zero issue is all, let's see if I make, if I remember correctly, it is all the origin of the bad guy, Mr. Dark. That's all it's about. And it's very creepy. Yeah, that's what it is. So it comes out right after number... 1 second. Page loading. It comes out right after number 5. And then it looks like number 6 kicks back in.
And the guy writing, his name's Justin Jordan. He had the unfortunate... job of writing Deathstroke in Team 7.
Yes, DC. After what's his name left?
Yes.
Oh, I haven't. I bought 7, but I haven't read it yet.
Oh, and Justin Jordan will be the new writer on New Guardians as well. So.
Yeah, I was looking at that. It's a good book. If you're into that. Oh, hold on. Murray has been kicked from the podcast. We got to kick him back on.
Drag him kicking and screaming in this conversation.
It's good. Yeah, we were talking to him and everything. Here, okay, here we go. Get this window out of the way and back in. Dialing up now.
Click, click, click. Do the clicky thing, Murray. You have the little green one. No. Dancing Murray is no longer on
the... Alright, let me try it again. Bring him back on, because we are trying to get him back.
The voice of reason.
Try it again. Come back, Murray!
Murray! Shane! Shane, come back!
Yeah, I bought... Well, actually, I bought 6 and I haven't read it.
Yeah, I have this whole funny thing I want to say if Murray ever comes back on, but he's clearly...
Yeah, something's happened because it says his line's busy.
How can your line be busy on Skype?
I don't know. Maybe you should log out. Come back in. All right, hold on while we work on some slight technical difficulties. Murray says he's jabbering, but there's no gibbering.
There's no gibbering. That certainly is gonna. And the nuts and cogs and ball bearings are missing. Apparently,
let's try it again.
All done with ball bearings nowadays.
Ball bearings? Yeah, I know what ball bearings are.
Remember in Fletch?
You there? Murray. Are you with us? Okay, he's going to sign off and sign back in.
Murray, don't go to the light.
He's going to sign off and sign back in. Let's see. You don't read Shadow Man, you said?
I don't read Shadow Man. And it's funny. I actually once wrote a story very similar to what it sounds like Shadow Man is about. So I should have some affinity towards it, and maybe I will give it a whirl.
It's pretty good. It's not my favorite book of theirs, but it's pretty good. If you like the mystical stuff,
It's kind of the same thing that turns me off from Bloodshot. Is what's turning me off. It makes me not want to necessarily run out for Shadow Man either. I don't like the look. I don't like how the character looks.
Okay, that makes sense.
The nice thing about Harbinger and Archer and Armstrong is there's no costumes. Or there's a deficit.
Yeah.
There's a deficit of costumes.
I hear you.
Whereas both Exo Man of War, as well as Shadow Man and Bloodshot, there's this superhero costume kind of thing going on, and clearly it's not. And the look of those characters is very built. It's built into the story. They look that way for a reason. They're not just throwing on the tights like Superman or Batman. There's a reason for them to do. Anyhow, try and dial Mr. Murray back in.
Oh, is he actually back?
What he said.
Oh, okay. There we go.
He's climbing.
Murray.
Hello, that's
him. Hey, Murray's back.
Oh man, and then Pam Anderson. Oh, hey Murray, you're back.
Yeah, sorry. We're gonna. That's all we had to say about that.
Okay. Good night, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow.
Hey.
Excellent. I'm glad I got you back with that.
Anyway, we were finishing up our. Finishing up our talk on what were we talking about? Oh,
well, Murray, the point Shadow. I was making.
Hold on. Yeah.
Is that the tornado warning?
No,
warning?
That's the weather radio saying that we have a flash flood warning. So you're okay.
Are you flooded? Do you have life jackets?
No, we don't need life jackets.
Sandbags? Do you have sandbags?
We're good. Everything's fine. I'm watching the radar and. At least two weather sites, so it's all good.
What is Doppler saying? Doppler is who
Doppler's
I own.
Saying there's a great big green, red, yellow, and blue thing right on top of us.
Oh shit!
Yeah, it's ugly.
That would be really creepy if you looked out the window. There's a green, yellow, and blue thing.
You know, funny about that. This is my little weather story. Is it weird that even today, and all those years later, that every time I see fog, the first thing I think of is the antimatter wall from Crisis on Infinite Earths?
is the first thought
that comes to my mind every time I see fog. Anyway, moving
and
along.
You turn around the other direction immediately.
No, I go ahead and run into it because I know that they're gonna retcon me no matter what I do.
Instinctually, you know that you're not going to end up. You're going to be pariah.
Yeah, exactly. I'll be right back patching systems in another universe.
Oh God.
Yeah, for the rest of my life.
I don't think I'd want to be pariah.
Pariah sucks.
Yeah, he was cranky.
Yeah, he was.
Big sad.
So what I was saying when you were
Pork,
so
I think I'd be. Late.
You were so rudely disconnected. Was that I think that the reason I don't read these other Valiant titles is pure bigotry. In that, I like the fact that in Harbinger and Archer and Armstrong there is a serious lack of costumes. Mm-hmm. I mean, in Harbinger, they kind of have a motif. They kind of
it's more like a uniform than it is.
Yeah, these Legion of Superheroes, 5 year later, kind of jackets. No, no pockets, but that's about as far as it goes. In Archer and Armstrong, there are no costumes in that book at all.
No.
Whereas Bloodshot, Exo Man of War, and Shadow Man all have these these visual motifs that almost feel they feel very 90s and not my favorite era of comic book design by any stretch, the 90s.
Yeah, I can see that.
So I maybe that's why I avoid them is just the again the bigotry against the 90s motif. So,
well, the original comics were, you know, out in the 90s. So.
No, of course they were, and I should like them because I know Bob Layton did some of the designs on them, and I know that Jim Shooter did a lot of the writing on them. Despite what some people say, I think Jim Shooter is actually a very good writer.
He is. When he really works at it.
I liked his Legion run. I did, in fact, like Dr. Solar.
Dr. Solar. That's...
And I think for all the bitching and whining, he did some amazing stuff for Marvel at the, you know, back in the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. I'd have to agree.
That was my rant when you fell offline, Murray. Was against.
Yeah, you missed it.
The whole 90s. I took the 90s to task.
As they should be.
Not just in comics, just the 90s in general.
Yeah, I'd have to agree.
90s in general.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Messing with pop culture to the nth degree.
We were wondering about filling enough time.
What did the 90s give us pop culture-wise? Star Trek The Next Generation? What else? Come on. Really?
Culture-wise?
Friends.
Don't count that.
What? We're counting Friends.
Okay, fine. We can count Friends.
Beverly Hills 90210, Melrose Place.
Man, you are not helping your cause at all.
Those do not stand the test of time.
They might not. Friends does. Friends totally does.
Yeah, no. So, that's what I was saying. But 90210 and Melrose Place.
They're cultural icons They need to be recognized for what they were.
They need to be forgotten for what... I'm sorry, no, I'm kidding. You like them, I'm not going to...
I didn't... Well, I probably watched some of it, a little bit.
Did you watch them at the time, though? Hmm.
Well, yeah. Back at then. Hmm. Probably 90210, not Melrose Place, I don't think.
I was in my 20s.
As someone from way the hell up in Canada, did you really think that was how L.A. was? Just out of curiosity.
Oh, yes, please, yes.
Maybe if you were rich.
Well, you didn't need to be rich on Melrose Place. You did need to be rich on 90210, but not on Melrose Place.
There you go.
Though they were all hot, good-looking people, so.
Yeah.
They are, though. When I went to San Diego, everybody was beautiful. They were all beautiful. Now, that's not Los Angeles, but it's close.
Well, you know, I have to...
I wasn't in San Diego that week.
Okay. Yeah, I wasn't either. Of course, I went when the two times I was in San Diego, it was during MMS, so... There's a bunch of geeks.
So I saw ugly people at the con, but...
Oh, well, okay,
They're imported ugly people.
They were comic geeks at a comic book con, so yes, they... At least five ugly people in residence. all comic book creators, by the way.
All the natives were beautiful.
And tanned.
Not sure.
And tanned.
All right. Not a silicon inside, right?
Okay.
No, it's all inside.
Yeah, right.
Under the skin.
In other words, we're still in agreement. The 90s were not kind to pop culture.
No, it wasn't. Especially
Seinfeld.
Comics.
That was 90s, wasn't it?
Oh, God.
Seinfeld? That was the 90s.
Don't get me started. Really.
Seinfeld, Michael Jackson.
Oh, okay, it's not there.
The Antichrist? What? I know, it's too soon, he's dead, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Never too soon to make fun of Michael Jackson.
okay. Yeah, it's been a year now, hasn't it? I forgot.
Anyhow, the truthful comment is that I was saying that I was not a fan of I'm not a fan of those motifs that are going on in those comics, but I will give the writing a shot, and I know that they've gone to lengths to explain how those characters look and why they look the way they look, and it's part of the story. So
they have.
Okay. Haven't they? the shadow.
Well, it's like they really haven't said, well, he's wearing this because blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, well, then maybe I won't read those books. I'm kidding. I mean, you know.
I don't think they've really explained. Well, I mean, Bloodshot's look is because of the nanites. That's just the way he looks. You know?
I'm going to be laid up. I'm going to be laid up for a week and a half, so I need to read something. So perhaps these will go.
I mean, you could always start them, and if you don't like them, don't read them anymore.
There you go.
Yep. Send them to Chris. Give him your code.
Maybe I won't even pay for them.
Let's see, what else?
The library might have the trade paperbacks, is what I'm saying.
Oh, that's not bad.
You need to read. That's probably a good idea, is pick up some of these.
I'm going to check my local library's listing as we speak.
Hmm. Yeah, I thought about buying showcases and donating them to the library.
All right, I'm spent. I can't talk Valiant anymore.
We're done, so it's all good.
Marie, I can't recommend the two titles that I read enough. They are a lot of fun, and I'm seriously considering getting Bloodshot just based on the fact, of his appearances in the Harbinger War stuff. It's been really good, on Chris's recommendations, I'll at least try EXO and Shadow Man and see.
Just read the first one. If it doesn't hook you there, it's not gonna do it for you. Or like I said, go to 8 or 9. That's when 8's when it goes into the Planet Death storyline, and that's when things really kick into gear. It's all foreplay up until that point.
Ooh. Yeah. We're going back to the sex comic.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. But yeah, I actually like that book. My favorite is probably Harbinger, which I didn't really care for it, but I've come to really like it. But anyway, yeah, that's good. It's good stuff.
I'm checking my local library.
So, is that it? That's all we got?
That's it. I'm going to bed.
All right, you go to bed, man.
Murray, go teach people tomorrow. Chris, go patch people tomorrow. I'm going to...
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow.
Migration. Or, that's what I'm doing.
I'm
10, 15,000 servers tomorrow, or machines. 2012.
Windows 8. You go, boy.
Oh, no. I'm not in part of that, thank God.
Okay.
Not that I believe... Well, never mind. Let's not get into that.
People want to make fun of us. How can they make fun of us?
Yeah, that's true. Anyway... As usual, you can send an email at podcast@talesfromthelongbox.com. Let us know what you think. Pardon me. I'm so sorry. I haven't had caffeine in at least 2 hours, and I'm a little sleepy. Anyway, looks like it's dying down outside. Good. I don't have to swim upstairs. Anyway, and you can check us out on our Facebook page. Lovely debate still going on. Just numerous replies and threads. My inbox is full. Very lively going on down there. Come join us. Be in awe at our geekiness. Or you can comment on the actual episodes themselves and let us know what you think. Nobody's ever done that. Well, except for Murray. Well, he's part of the podcast now, so come on. Come on in. Join the conversation. Who knows? Maybe we'll put you on staff. What's the worst can happen? And that's about it for this week. And we are out.